for me, it was you know, it was, I think it just happened that I kind of it was a trigger for my passion point. I was like, yes, this is what I would like to do, and I could really blend both tech and people together. But for some of them, it might just be that probably they have a bachelor's degree in, I've already given the example of human resources. Probably I could take economics. And you know, most of them in the industry think that ERPs are only human resource based, but it is a much broader spectrum. It covers finances, it covers universities where they use it for learning purposes. It covers procurement and marketing, sales. So it is much broader than what people assume, or people have a presumption these days. ERPs is just used by human resources.
Welcome to Extend Women in Tech podcast. We are a tech community podcast highlighting stories of women in tech and inspiring everyone into tech. We aim to provide a platform for sharing experiences, insights, success stories that inspire and empower others in this dynamic IT industry. I'm your host, Jonah Anderson, and here with me today is Shetty Tarafi. And I'm thrilled to have you join us today and listen to our latest episode with a new guest speaker and in this podcast. Today, we have a guest on our podcast. Her name is Stiffy Sylvester. She's based in Stockholm, Sweden. She works as a SaaS system lead implementation consultant, and she has an in-depth knowledge of HCM and financial processes using ERP. She currently works at Cambio Group as a solution manager. And I would like to welcome her to our podcast, Extend Women in Tech. Welcome, Steffi. Hi, Teddy.
Hi, welcome, Stiffy. We're glad to have you here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us today in our podcast. I'd like to start with how was your day today? How are
I'm
you?
doing
And then,
great.
tell us about yourself.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be a part of this podcast. Thank you, Jonah and Shady, for inviting me to be your guest. I'm doing great and have had a great long day, I must admit. Nevertheless, I'm really excited for this. And to give you a short introduction about myself, I'm Steffi Sylvester. I'm born and raised in India. I moved to Sweden 4 years ago, and I currently work at Cambio Healthcare Systems as a Workday Solution Manager, and I'm also a system owner. So overall, I'm passionate about implementation of systems, and over a decade I have focused on enterprise resource planning and the technology that evolves around that. And apart from my work, I am an avid traveler. I love exploring new places and culture. I enjoy music and photography, and I wouldn't call myself a foodie, but nevertheless I dare to try different cuisines. That's pretty much an introduction about myself, I must say.
Thank you for that great introduction. I like that you added your hobbies and the things that you like as well. I remember that we started got in contact, Stevie, and we invited you to be a guest in our podcast through Ellie King from Equal IT. So how did Ellie share to you about our podcast that Shetty and I have been working on actively?
So Ellie and I, we met during the pandemic online at Women in Tech, and this was in 2020. And it was great that I got to meet with her. And this year, when I was at Women in Tech Stockholm in March, I met her again in person. And it was exciting, and it was just coincidental that I ended up being interviewed by her when I came out of one of the sessions. So we spent some time during the Women in Tech event, And after which we still kept in contact. And she did mention about your work and Extant Women in Tech. And she did give a great introduction about what you guys are doing, you and Shady are doing in this Extended Women in Tech podcast, and how you have broadened your network through this and help more women and so on. So it was really exciting. And Ellie did mention a lot more interesting stuff about what you guys do. So yeah, that's how I
Yes.
got in touch with her. And yeah, it's amazing that I
Yes.
started with an introduction with you, Jonah, and then eventually it was Shady as well. So yeah.
Yes, it's great. Thank you for that. I'm really glad that Ellie have introduced you to us to be our guest. So Ellie and I actually met first time in person for in London when I was in London the other week, and we were also video blogging there, and I really admire her passion for diversity and equality in tech, that she started her own company, Equality and Podcast, and really highlighting this women in tech, including referral of guest speakers in different initiatives or podcasts. So we're Shetty and I are happy to have you here with us. And this episode is all about you. So it's all about your story and finding out how you got inspired into tech in the tech industry. And that comes to my question. How is your story like? Tell us about your tech story. How did you get into IT, Steffi?
Sure. I would like to take this back to my teenage and get started from there. So as a kid, I always loved mathematics and computer science, and I knew that I wanted to work either on programming computers, or I loved assembling hardware and so on. So I knew that computers was my space to go to. However, teenagers are sometimes rebels, and I was one of them. And I was rebellious to go to high secondary school, so which in Swedish terms it's gymnasiet. Usually, this is how it works in the Indian education system, that after grade 10, you go into high secondary school, you choose your subjects, after which you go into university. But I refused to do that, and I decided to go to a diploma school instead. So I wanted to break the system there, and I'm grateful to my parents. They were really supportive, and they allowed me to apply to go to a diploma school. And I chose, my only ambition then was to start working in a corporate and to work on computers. So I did a 3-year diploma program. This was right after my grade 10. So the diploma program was about computer engineering. So the first year, I covered most of the basic subjects, and I had math and computer science. And year 2 and 3, I did more of computer science. So when I was probably 17 and a half, I already started with my first gig. So I think it was my dream back then to go into a city like Bangalore and get started. So my first job was to program a credit card machine. And I started with that, but that did not stop me from pursuing my education further. So when I was programming credit card machine, simultaneously I also attended courses that was of my interest, and I was interested in hardware. So I picked up courses related to servers and networking. So I did a couple of courses related to that, and also I applied for distance education. So I did distance bachelor's in computer science. And I after which and this was about, say, 3 years from the time I started my career. So within 3 years of time, I was able to finish my bachelor's, and I also was promoted at my job in the first 2 years, and I moved into learning and development team. So there I developed my passion for people. So I realized that there was a connect between tech and people. And what I did was I decided to do another master's degree and I decided to go for an MBA. So I did a distance MBA in human resources and systems. So I think this covered about 5 years of my time. I worked for the same company, so I worked on the different spaces. And eventually, at the end of 5 years, I knew that I would like to work with people and tech, combine something. And that was my first ever biggest gig to get started with Motorola. And my job was to implement a learning management system for them. So that was the world that opened up for me to get started with hardcore tech. So I did learn more about tech and everything. I think at Motorola was where I had systems under my control, and I learned through the phase. I still remember my manager telling me, like, "Hey, I'm going to push you into the swimming pool. You just have to get to the other side of it." I'm like, "Okay, fine. Good that night I'm not in an ocean at least." So, but I think I swam my way through it. And
Yes.
and that's how
Okay.
I started.
Yes. That's
Interesting.
interesting journey. Like it's like the speed version of what you've done for the several years of your career. So you've actually like was a developer, and then later on you realize that you're gonna be working more on the enterprise systems and work with people, which is an also a interesting arena in our field of industry. So yeah, thanks for sharing.
You're welcome. But I didn't develop, to be honest. I mean, when I said I
Ah,
was
okay.
programming credit card machines, it was more to do with, I'm not sure how many, how if you have, if you remember microprocessors, because the credit card machine
Yes.
is pretty much built on those. So it was pretty much like, you enter the code or the built-in program line after line into a credit card machine. So that's how I did it.
Okay.
I didn't have to sit and code much,
Yes.
but my program that I chose in terms of my bachelor's and even during diploma, I did learn more of programming languages and so on, which came in handy at later point of time when I was literally working on my ERPs.
Okay. All right. Yes,
Yeah,
that's
speaking of
great.
the ERPs, that it's really interesting that how you get into it. Like, I'm interested to know how you start your journey in ERP and how you became passionate about it. So listening to your story, it looks like you will end up in as a programmer, but it's a different path.
Yes,
So,
indeed it is.
yeah.
Yeah, sure. I can definitely talk about it. So, like I said, when I started with Motorola, so it was to implement learning management systems. And also, it was at a time when they shifted from one of the ERP. So, just to give a background of ERP, it is the Enterprise Resource Planning System, which is pretty much used in an organization to manage database for the employees to handle everything that is related to employee data, starting from your hire to termination, which will eventually involve financials. It will involve payroll and a lot of other aspects from an employee perspective. So, and you will also be able to associate it with different systems, for example, a learning system, a performance management system. So there are a lot of ERPs out in the world, and many tech companies, or most of the companies today, will definitely have an ERP. It depends if you would have a cloud-based ERP or if you would have an on-prem ERP solution. So when I started, it was really a boom that most of the companies were trying out, software as a service, and ERP was also a service that was used. So it was more about being in, when you have a master's in human resources and you have something with tech background as well, you always think how you would like to bring both together. And for me, it was easier to look at a system, and if I had to click on a particular task, I always thought in terms of processes, how I could look at it from a process perspective and how that translates into a task for an end user and how that comes out as an output for a person who is going to do payroll or for somebody who is going to do process my expenses and etc. So you have to be able to think through from a process perspective. So I think that was a trigger for me. And I have always been passionate about how to connect, different tools. So that also was a kickstarter for me. I kind of pushed myself to learn more about how all of these kind of got along together to get a good output in different formats. So yes. So and to get started with ERP, so if you would like to know more about how someone starts, for it, I can give you an example. If I am a hardcore human resources person and I use, a system to input employee data, I could consider myself to also take a part as the ERP functional consultant because I know how what processes are to be involved. So there, a functional consultant role comes into place. And if I have to take a step further, if I am more functional and also I know a bit of tech, then I could take one step further to be a techno-functional consultant where I could connect coding, where I could connect processes, where I could do data with reports and et cetera. So I take the next step forward to be a techno-functional consultant. And if I want to think further ahead, I want to be a hardcore ERP interface builder, or I want to develop a ERP, then you kind of become an integration consultant. You associate how two systems are integrated together to get your data out in and out, and how that translates into more information that's used by the end user. And for example, we could talk about how we get numbers these days and how analytics is used and et cetera. So then you are thinking more of an integration consultant, but still you're working on an ERP. And if you want to really implement something, then you have to think, have multiple hats where you are a functional consultant, you are an integration consultant, you think like an integration consultant, and you also know tech part of it and able to program manage all of it and become an implementation consultant. So you have like different stages depending on how you place your skill sets and what interests you is the most important. So then it kind of leads you to broaden your passion or develop your passion, I must say. Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Interesting. Which makes
Yeah.
me like, because I haven't worked a lot with ERP, but I know that there it's is very widely used, especially in many organizations. So let's just say one of our listeners are not familiar with ERP. How would you like explain it to someone? Like, I mean, if they want to choose this path, working with ERP, for example. Do they need to have like like I know that you have shared you have amazing educational background to the point that you're also MBA and have masters, but do they need to have be masters to work with ERP systems within IT?
Not necessarily. And for me, it was it was, I think it just happened that I kind of it was a trigger for my passion point. I was like, yes, this is what I would like to do, and I could really blend both tech and people together. But for some of them, it might just be that probably they have a bachelor's degree in I've already given the example of human resources. Probably I could take economics. And most of them in the industry think that human ERPs are only human resource based, but it is a much broader spectrum. It covers finances, it covers universities where they use it for learning purposes, it covers procurement and marketing sales. So it is much broader than what people assume or people have a presumption these days. ERPs is just used by human resources. So even if you're an economics person, you have an economics background, at end of the day, when you're working on your economical data in an organization, you will use an ERP. And so you will use a tool. It could be an ERP. It could just be even if it's an Excel, it completely depends on how you would like to see that tool or how you would like to see the output. Would you like to use that in a form of an interface? And if you think that you could navigate through the processes, or if you are more process oriented, it's easier for you to get through with this. And at that time, you don't have to be technical. Like I said, you could go back into being a functional consultant, a functional financial consultant. So you don't definitely need an IT background. You don't need to have completed like coding. You don't have to know code, etc. And there is a recent program that has been launched. There are different ERPs in the market. Workday is what I work mostly with, but SAP is one of them. SuccessFactors is a tool that belongs to SAP. And there are other, PeopleSoft was one of the oldest ERPs that was being used, and etc. So SAP has a low code, no code course. So people can definitely look at courses to get started with ERPs. If you have no idea, but you still want to be, you want to kickstart with tech, you could always look at low code programs and take courses related to it. Yeah,
that's interesting. Thank you for explaining that. When you talk about the ERP on implementation and context, how you align the business process and the process gap, the capability of ERP, and then the business logic, how do you align those? And then what kind of process mindset do you have or employ in this kind of circumstance?
Okay, this is a very interesting question, I must admit, because this is something that I face in my role day in and out, especially when it comes to processes. For example, if you are five people sitting in a room, not all five are process oriented. So especially if you are working in an ERP or working in a system, first thing, it is very important that you have to either have a process mind or at least get to a state where you agree to processes. And the reason being, everything that you do in a system has a background effect to it. And if there is a process failure, then you would see that the outcome of it is going to be chaotic, or you would definitely end up with errors. And it is important to understand what the requirements are, and if the requirements are being translated into a process in the first place. Because if you have a set of requirements, and if you think that these requirements will not match with the processes or a default set of processes that is existing, then you definitely have to tweak your requirements. I don't mean to say that you have to always tweak your requirements to match with the processes, but also there should be a balance between both process and the requirements. So you should always be able to understand that there is no requirement without processes. There's no processes without having a strong requirement or strong base to what you are asked to do. It is not necessary that everyone sitting inside the room should be process oriented. You may or may not be, but also it is important to see what outcome you expect. And if you expect an outcome without process, for me, that is not the right thing to do. I would rather propose a solution that is that's out of the box, and or take it separate that doesn't interfere with the system. So yeah.
Could you say that this process mindset can be developed, or is it just...
It is definitely something you could develop. It is purely dependent on how you see something. If you look at certain things and if you think, okay, I understand the logic behind it, I understand why there is a process needed, I understand what will happen if there is no process, then it's easy for you to adapt into it. But if you are failing to understand why there is a process need there, why can't I just jump from step A to step Y, and why do I need to have all other steps in between? And I mean, you're missing a logic there. So it is important to kind of develop into that mindset, especially if you're working on systems that is process oriented. If you are working on something that allows you to skip logic, then yes, it could be built in that way as well. But there should also be a reasoning on why you want to skip the logic there. Yeah.
Okay, that's really, this is interesting because I'm a logical person. I'm a developer actually, but I also work a lot. I also believe in processes, which is very important in my role as both developer and DevOps engineer. I just don't do technical related processes or logic thinking, but I also need to work with people, with my teammates. And also, the topic of process-oriented mindset is interesting because when you work in an IT project, usually you have developers, you have different teams. And that also involves developers or IT teams to be able to communicate what needs to be done through the business perspective. Usually, in the business or enterprise perspective, the organization or the team, business team, has these processes that needs to be followed. And somehow, in my world and or in my mind, it needs to be like kind of like translated and communicated, vice versa, process wise and also logical wise, in terms of developer perspective, in order to build that enterprise system that end users are going to use for. So it's just a comment or a feedback that I have that's that makes it, this topic or talk
Yeah,
interesting.
it's amazing that you talk about that as well, because I sometimes end up when stakeholders get back to me and say, hey, I reviewed this and I see that this has 10 steps or 10 processes behind this, and I have no time or I have no patience to go step by step to get to where I want to in the interface. So at that time, of course, I try to build in more logic. So if I have 10 steps, I try to build in more logic to reduce the number of steps from probably 10 to 6 or 10 to 7. But I also am very considerate that I don't eliminate all of them. Because if you're able to build in logic to steps, and if that reduces the number of, if that reduces time and that is more beneficial for the end user, it definitely makes sense. But if I see that all 10 steps are important, and if I have to eliminate one step, it has a major impact on something else, then it's something that I would question myself, what are the other alternatives? But that will never stop me from eliminating eliminating the whole thing or eliminating the fact that the process is important. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Steffi, for that explanation. This is really interesting. When I see the process-oriented mindset, I'm trying to like in the back of my mind right now translating the process into logic that sooner or later, as a developer, you're gonna write into code. And this, you're looking at the code, it's like functions. So process is like building a function that does something for the system, but interesting topic. But this time we're gonna like switch into another topic. I speak a lot about cloud technologies to the point that I'm writing a book about it, and I speak a lot about it, developing and working or integrating with the cloud, not just Azure, but in all cloud platforms, to be honest. And I think there's a big word, a word, not just buzzword, but a topic coming up in the IT industry today. It's called DevSecOps, which is a development, security, and operations,
Operations, exactly.
which plays a vital role in terms of security. Because when you have a system, ERP system, that's an enterprise system, right? And somehow that system are coded by developers, and in order to promote or to like make sure or guarantee security, then it needs to start also from the development. Like for example, in my area, in terms of development and DevOps, you need to make sure that developers are not putting in sensitive information to, like for example, database connection string on the code, because that code will be published to the cloud in production and if the hackers are busy hacking. So if it's a big company, enterprise company, they will try to look for holes in your system, ERP system or whatever system, in order to attack and gather the important data that your users has in your system, regardless if it's an ERP or a SaaS system.
Can individuals strive and make significant achievement, whether ERP or any other IT field, based on their skills, solely relying on their educational background? Why I'm asking you this is, your educational story is you started from distance, if I'm not mistaken, distance learning. You didn't even go to in-person classes. So just want to know your individual experience.
Sure, really happy to talk about it. In terms of an individual gaining an education through distance or in person, I think it doesn't really matter. I still have regrets, and I wouldn't lie about it or not hide the fact that I always feel like, oh, I wish I went to a really, a renowned university, or I went to a prestigious, MBA school or whatever. But nevertheless, it did not stop me from following my passion. It did not stop me from wanting to do what I wished, and it did not stop me from daring to take any challenges. So I think, as long as you're passionate about something, if there is a woman out there who is passionate about tech, or who is probably a beginner but still dares to try tech, I would definitely encourage them, because these days it's really easy for you to crack through to get into the tech industry. When I say easy, I'm not saying, okay, it's a piece of cake. Today you start coding and tomorrow you are, you're offered a job at Microsoft. That's not what I'm trying to say. But if you have the willpower, and if you think that I could probably take a coding course for the next 6 months, I will put in my hard work. I will try to learn as much as I could and take the first step from there on. I think that's a win. So at that time, your education doesn't come into picture. Nobody is asking you, hey, why don't you have an MBA from so-and-so university? Or why aren't you graduated with an IT bachelor's or master's? But rather, they will look at what skill sets you own. And you always learn on the go. So for me, I knew learning management system. I did not know. I was just asked, because based on what I learned with processes, what I could do from a tech perspective, I was just asked, this is your project, get through with it. And if I had told back then to my manager, hey, I have no idea what this learning management system is, I have no idea about SaaS or cloud, I would have just been a failure then. And the path is never going to be easier, to be honest. And now I've had experience for about or more than a decade. And definitely there have been times where I've had pitfalls and I've felt, okay, what am I doing? Why am I working on the same thing? Or why am I working on projects that does not interest me? So those things will definitely happen. And you definitely have to dare to face challenges. You can't always, it will never be a smooth ride. There will definitely be a roller coaster that you will have to go through. But if that's your wish, and if that's what you are passionate about, you will be pushed to do so by yourself. And you don't need somebody else to push you, to be honest. Nobody pushed me to say, do this, become a doctor, become an engineer, be an ERP implementation manager. Nobody told me to do so. It's just that I developed my passion over the years. So you don't need, you don't have to rely on a master's degree, or you don't have to rely on owning something from a prestigious university.
Okay, let's say at the same time, I want to ask you about how can they show their skills and then end up finding a job at the same time. Basically, because many people go to some colleges and then they get in contact with because of the internship possibilities. They will get connections, and then they will get occasionally, like, they will get some kind of possibilities to landing in a job. But in such kinds of circumstances where you get some kind of like education from distance learning, how can you mingle? It's really gonna be hard because you don't get in contact with in person. And then what do you say for one person to start their career in ERP?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, and I already see the trend. I see a lot of students out there who really have no idea in terms of like what they want to do, or you know, or they probably just want to take a break from their education, and you know, probably they're stressed for the 10 years or 15 years of high school and so on. But for me, what I think is that what is very important is, when you are about to complete your higher secondary school, or when you're about to get into university, I think that's the first step for you to start looking for a mentor or a guide. And also, I would always encourage someone to start using professional networking platform. You know, of course, we all spend a lot of time on social media. We are out there on Facebook, Instagram, and everywhere. But I also think it's very important to professionally start molding yourself. And platforms like LinkedIn is really, really helpful. I must mention that I have worked for LinkedIn before I moved to Sweden, and there have been different platforms where we bring in students to build their profiles, to help them learn how to build a LinkedIn profile, how to make connections professionally, and how to look out for mentors and etc. So I think it's very, very important to have a mentor. Like I, after so many years of work experience, I still look for a mentor, and I have a mentor myself. So I think it's important for a fresh graduate, or even for a high school student who's graduated, to start looking out to build their professional network. It could just be baby steps. Look, build your profile on LinkedIn. Reach out to people who you think are there or achieved, or probably working in the industry that you are probably interested to work in the future. So probably you're looking for somebody you're interested in sustainability. And you search with keywords for sustainability, look for people, try to connect with them. So I think it's very, very important to professionally connect with people across the globe. You don't have to be just looking for somebody in your location. It is important that you also connect globally. And that's one way of getting started with it. And in terms of how they could get into ERPs, or how they could narrow their path and what they want to do, is to look out for courses. And nevertheless, these days, it is a ton of courses out. There's LinkedIn Learning, if you would like to do some courses on LinkedIn. And there are a lot of free courses out there. There are courses out on Udemy, Coursera. You could name a lot of learning sites. So if you already understand, okay, I want to take a step in the IT industry, but I do not want to code, look out for people who own titles like project managers, look out for program managers, look out for somebody who is a business analyst, you know. So I think these are simple steps that an individual could take to see how they could go on further, and if they could find a mentor, because there are lots of organizations that offers mentorship. So you don't even have to really search out or be in the waiting list for longer. You will be offered a mentor. So that would be my advice for a beginner to kickstart in the tech industry. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Thank you for that, Sufi. First of all, I want to like comment that you had a good answer on Chetty's questions in terms of like holding an MBA or higher education, because I liked what you said, that it really starts or and like it doesn't matter if you have MBA or bachelor's degree, which I also have. I think the key thing to success in all our careers is doing what we want to do with passion and determination, that that's really what we want to achieve. And having these titles and prestigious like career or background is just like the foundational that many organizations are looking for. But as it also depends on not just tech skills or and other things, but it also I think one of, as far as I've observed for the past several years, it's also important to have the people skills. So if you have that determination, your background, and all the skills that you're passionate about, then I think the listeners can also relate that having the will to succeed and also finding the mentor to guide you when you're still in the process of deciding or still in the way of choosing a path really matters. The importance of mentorship and professional networking like LinkedIn, which I actually have used a lot myself for my own career and network. Yes, so
yeah, bingo
yes.
On that, Jonah. I think it's really important to have people skills as well. You could never back off from just, you can't hide behind the screen forever. You will have to definitely have people skills, and the more you interact, the more you learn from others, and it also helps develop yourself. And
yes,
communication plays a vital role here.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, regardless of whatever roles we do, I can relate to that part. Communication is very important, and communication itself has its own challenges. So it's also a skill itself. So being able
Yes.
to communicate with your boss, with your colleagues, being able to translate what you're doing, like business process, into a logical process that and you explain it in a way that others can understand, that's a thing. Yeah, so we're out of time soon, but I want to ask you one last question, Stevie. What's your advice to others, women in tech, or anybody who are still starting their journey in tech or the IT industry? What's are your like top three advice?
My first advice is follow your passion. Don't let go. And the second thing I would say is do not fear change. I think if you have that fear, then it is going to take forever and you will find it very difficult to overcome that. So never have the fear of change. And I would also say that be open to transformation. I think every time, there, when you take a step, you will have to consider that as a transformation step, and you own your transformation. I think it's very, very important. Have fun while you do all of this. Don't just don't, life is just very short, and don't miss out on the fun part. Yeah.
Yes. I like your advice, advice there. It's like almost the same as what I follow as well in my career. And I like when you said life is too short. And speaking of life that's too short, I mean, it doesn't matter how much titles you have gained in this life. Well, when we die, we won't be able
Doesn't
to bring
matter.
it with us. You won't have, you can't bring the trophy with you. So yeah, so I think what matters is doing what you love, what we love to do, and that we're making an impact, helping others, and mentoring others to help them also in their own path or career. Anything to add, Chetty?
I would like to highlight what Steffi said earlier about the part. Like she said, if you are not inclined towards programming, you may explore other roles like project management. And then it's a good advice, I think. You don't have to be a good programmer or a programming to be in IT. There are different roles and then functions that you can relate in this field. One other thing you said as well, like change is inevitable, so it's necessary to adapt transformation and often necessary for progress. So I like those two things. That's all I have.
That's a really great add-on you had, Sherry. I like that what you said, that we don't need to be all programmers to be working in tech or IT. I believe that IT is a pretty big arena of a lot of opportunities for learning and collaboration. And this is a great topic for our audience to learn more about ERP and how software as a service system works also in this the career that Stiffy has in her job. So Stiffy, we really appreciate your time tuning in to, I mean, discussing these things that you do and you're passionate about with us. And definitely, and I hope that our listeners are also inspired to hear your story and learn more about these things that you do in the ERP arena and process mindset.
It's been a pleasure.
Yes.
It was really amazing to get to know you, Jonna, and also Shazy. And I've always been inspired by women in tech. And every time I'm at a women in tech conference or I meet other women in tech in general, it just kind of makes me very happy. And I would definitely hold on to being an ambassador on that front.
Yes.
So thank you for having me as your guest and for your time. And I really hope that the answers and the information that I shared during this session is helpful to more women out there.
Yes, you are empowering us as well. So we're happy that you devoted your time to do this recording and share as well to others. So just like you, Shadi and I are also driven by the purpose that we're spending time recording this podcast is to actually inspire and lift other women in tech. And hopefully we inspire more and others that are inspired will also pay it forward. So thank you for your time and even Chetty's time today. So but the time is like short also. It's like, especially when we're having a great conversation. I'm curious though, if listeners wants to reach out to you, Stiffy, how can they reach out to you?
They can reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm there. Stiffy Anifrid Sylvester, that's the name that you need to look for. And you could connect with me. I'm very happy to connect with more women in tech or anybody who would like to know about ERPs and etc. And if somebody is out there looking out for mentorship, I'm happy to do that as well.
Yes, that's great. Yeah, maybe Chetty and I will have a mentorship about learning about ERP process oriented mindset.
And vice versa. Yes. I would learn more Azure Cloud from you guys.
Yeah, sure. You can. Yes, definitely. Yeah, I'm actually due to mentor Chetty as well with the cloud computing and cloud development. So that will be fun.
Hopping on. Yes.
A group mentorship maybe.
Yes.
So yeah, thank you so much everyone, both of you, Shetty and Stiffy. And to our listeners, thank you. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you missed our previous episode from last time, feel free to follow us on our podcast channels such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and even Spotify podcasters, I think, or the Anchor channels that we have. And thank you so much for listening. And if you have stories to share, or maybe Stiffy, you have other friends who wants to share their stories in our podcast, feel free to reach out to me and Shetty on LinkedIn, and we would be glad to hear your story on the upcoming episodes. So thank you so much. Thanks,
Shetty.
Thank you.
Thank you both. Have a good one. Thanks.
Thank you.